Will you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of James, to the chapter 1. James chapter 1. And our text for this morning is the verse 17. Perhaps one of the most well-known of verses in the book of James, perhaps even in the Word of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's bow in prayer, please. Gracious Father, we thank you for thy precious word, for the inspired, infallible, and the inerrant word of God, preserved on through the ages through thy Holy Spirit, that we might have that blessed truth in our hands today to read and to meditate upon, to preach and to believe. Oh, give us believing hearts, we pray. May our hearts not be filled with doubt and uncertainty, but that we might stand four square upon the word of God, and in so doing we might know thy blessing, that rich blessing of God, to be our portion today. Speak to us through this passage of Scripture. Even though it's familiar, we pray that we will find to be new and fresh and vital for our soul, and that we would be a people most extraordinarily blessed in and through the Word of God this day. Do be pleased to speak to us, to encourage, to strengthen, and may we be well established in the things of God for the glory of thy great name. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you're familiar with C.S. Lewis's work, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there is a scene where the children hear for the first time about King Aslan the Lion, who is, of course, an allegorical figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after Mr. Beaver explains that Aslan is a lion, Susan says, "I should feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." And to which Mrs. Beaver replies, "If there is anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they are either braver than most, or else just silly." And young Lucy pipes up, "Then he isn't safe." Mr. Beaver answers with perhaps one of the best lines in the book, "Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." Now in verse 13, James has declared that God can never be accused of tempting man to sin, that God can never be credited with anything that is evil. Indeed, verse 17 explains that God, rather than being associated with evil, the God that we serve is perpetually good, both in who he is and what he does, and what we can expect from him is good continually. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When we understand the nature of our God, it causes us to understand perhaps a little more fully just what it means to be a servant of the Most High God, and how God relates to us. And when we think of the goodness of God, it leaves us that we should be appreciative of the gifts that he has brought into our life. Of all the mythological creatures dreamt up in the imagination, There's none as ridiculous as the self-made man. There is no such thing as the self-made man. Because James reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I know that people like to speak today of how they have accomplished this and how they have done that and how they have succeeded in this area and that area. But listen, beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The things that we enjoy in life, the blessings that sweeten our existence upon the earth, while many trace them back to the result of their labors, we understand more fully that they come to us as a gift from above, a gift from God. Now, we could go through an extensive list of these good things that we enjoy, be it health and strength, be it soundness of mind, friends and family, work and employment, every good, every perfect gift, your wife, your husband, your children, your church, the Bible you hold in your hand, the fellowship that you enjoy with other believers, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above. The list is endless. The prophet declared of the mercies of God that they are new each morning, and great is His faithfulness. Oh, that we might see that every good thing in our life can be traced ultimately back to God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, this verse tells us something about the character of the giver. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Now, it might appear when we read that phrase that James is simply doubling up on what he's saying, good gifts and perfect gifts, when in fact he's using two different words in the original language for gift. And the first word describes the act of giving, and the second describes the character of the gift. So one describes the character of the giver, and the other one describes the character of the gift. So what James is saying, in a more literal sense, is every good giving, or every act of giving that is good, and every perfect gift is from above. So before James even draws our attention to the gift, he wants us to consider the giver, the one who gives good. He's pointing us to the Lord. See, it's possible for you and I to give a good gift, but to give it with the wrong attitude. We can give it grudgingly. We can give it with an ulterior motive. But James reminds us that when God gives, that we can be certain and grateful that He is giving out of a genuine love and concern for us. And He gives only with the highest and holiest and loftiest of motives. He gives for our benefit. When Paul describes the giving of God in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he said that He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? When we look at what God has given to us in the giving of His Son, He has given us the greatest gift. And He has given that gift willingly. I think of the words of John 3 and verse 16, where we are told that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him willingly. He gave Him lovingly. He gave Him for our greatest good. When God gives, it's an act of good giving. The Lord Jesus, speaking to His disciples in Luke chapter 12, said to them, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It pleases the Lord to give good gifts. And that comes as no surprise to us. As the Saviour conveyed this thought in Matthew 7, when he's speaking to the crowd around him, saying, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" God is good not only because of what he gives, but because of the way that he gives. His very act of giving is good. So we see the character of the giver, but we also see the content of his gift. Notice again what James says, "Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above." God only gives perfect gifts. Every gift that God gives fulfills the purpose for which he gives. Everything that's fulfilling, everything that's satisfying, all of those gifts that are just perfectly suitable for you and I, they come from God. I don't know if you've ever received a gift from someone and you've opened it and you thought, "What am I going to do with this? Why did they give this to me?" And a quick look on eBay or Gumtree after Christmas and birthdays will reveal a number of presents that recipients just didn't want, had no purpose or place for, and they're getting rid of. But there have been times that we've received gifts that were just absolutely perfect, just what we wanted and just what we needed. And those who gave the gift knew exactly what to give. Well, James is telling us here in verse 17 that God does not give bad gifts. He gives perfect gifts. In fact, every good act of giving and every perfect gift in your life has come from God. David the psalmist cried out in praise, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits." Things don't happen in our lives by luck or chance. We don't believe in those things. There is a sovereign God who loves us more than we can possibly understand, who orchestrates all of the affairs of life and presents us with benefits for our blessing. Oh, that we might praise the Lord for such benefits. Is that not what we sang this morning? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." When we consider the blessed nature of the giver and the perfect gifts that he brings to us, should we not be more appreciative to the Lord for all that he's done for us? When we think especially of the greatest gift of all, the giving of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that good and perfect gift, do we not cry out in praise as Paul did in speaking to the Corinthians, "Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift, one that is so great that we haven't even words to express our gratitude, that in the giving of his Son, that we have a Savior from sin." You know, when God determined to save us, it must be via a gift, because we had no claim upon God. We had no good works to present to him. There's nothing that we could have brought to God and said, "Here is what I have contributed, now you must save me." No, the wages that we deserve were the wages of sin, which is death. But the gift of God, the giving of God, is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't even know that we needed salvation. We didn't desire God. We didn't want God. We didn't seek after God. But God freely, out of His abundant mercy and love and grace, did freely give us His Son. God the Father gave us His Son in the covenant of grace. He gave us His Son in His incarnation. He gave us His Son at Mount Calvary to die for our sins. And now that we have experienced that new birth in Christ, we have experienced His Son in our hearts. He gives us His Son. And in the receiving of Christ, we have salvation. We have eternal life. We have an inheritance in heaven. God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ all things. For He is heir of heaven, and we are joint heirs with Him. And it's all been through the free gift of God. That good giving and perfect gift. How we should be appreciative of the gifts of God in our life. And how we should stand amazed at the grace that God has so freely bestowed upon us. Because that's really what James is describing here. These good and perfect gifts have come down from God, come down through His grace. Look at the phrase that James uses here. They come down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, or from above cometh down from the Father of lights. As I thought upon those words this week, they spoke to me of the grace of God. How when He gives us good things, that they come from Him. James titles our God the Father of lights. And the lights that James is referencing here are the lights of heaven. The sun and the moon and the stars and the planets that you see in the night sky. Well, James is saying that God is the one who fathered those lights. They are His creation. Our little planet orbits in the middle of a massive galaxy known as the Milky Way. And from our planet, we can see a large bright sun that lights our day, that reflects off the moon by night. That sun, they tell me, is 109 times bigger than our planet. And in our galaxy alone, there are millions of such suns that are bigger and brighter than our own. Our galaxy is so vast that if you could travel at the speed of light, and that's 186,000 miles per second, that it would take you 100,000 years just to cross our galaxy. And then when you realize that our galaxy is just one amongst millions of galaxies, dotted across the universe, and the creating force behind each of those vast galaxies is none other than our God, the Father of lights, who sends down good gifts upon our little life. Is it any wonder that the psalmist asked the question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" We're just a little speck, and yet we are the recipients of God's rich and perfect gifts, and it's all of grace. When you consider that the Lord, the God of the galaxies, knows our name, because He calls His sheep by name, and He not only knows us by name, but He has purposed to bless us. And He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world on our behalf, that He might die for our sins, to deliver us from judgment, that we might be raised up on high with Him. Are we not amazed that the God who created all things should look so kindly upon us. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights. It cometh down from the Father of lights. What's interesting with that little word, cometh, is in what we might call the continuous present tense. It's like a stream. It's ever flowing. God not only gave in the past or will give in the future, but He gives now and He continues to give. It's as if James is saying that God never ceases for a moment to shower His blessings upon us. It's the continuous present. It is streaming forth from God continually. Not for a single second of your life has the God of the universe not had His hand open, pouring out a continuous stream of gifts into your life. As we preach this sermon, the average heart will beat 2,100 times. And each of those beats is a gift from God who sustains life. Over the course of today, your lungs will breathe in some 11,000 liters of air, and every breath is a gift from God who created your lungs and the air that you breathe. When we stop for a moment, pause to consider the millions of good and perfect gifts that God is showering upon us moment by moment by moment by moment, it's all an act of sovereign grace. We are the recipients of the unmerited favor of God. Oh, that we would be appreciative of the gifts that God gives to us. Oh, that we would be amazed at the grace that God showers upon us. And oh, that we would be assured of the presence of God with us. Notice what James says in the end of that verse. Brings in a wonderful theological truth into a verse that's already crowded with truth. He says of the Father, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's dealing with what we call the doctrine of the immutability of God. James is assuring us that the God who has previously blessed us in the past and is continuing to bless us in the present will continue to do so in the future because of His consistency and constancy, or His immutability. He doesn't change. You and I change. Our grey hairs are testimony to that. We change. We are inclined towards inconsistency. But the good news is that the assurance of our salvation and our hope for eternity does not rest upon our steadfastness, but upon the steadfastness of God, who cannot and does not change. Notice what James says about the Lord, how he describes Him. He says that there is no variableness with God. He doesn't change. If you've ever walked down cobblestone streets, you'll know just how uneven your walk can be. There's an alternating of the stones, one's high and one's low. There's a varying of your step. Well, that's the word that James uses here. And he says, with regards to God, there's no variance with Him. He's not alternating. He's not up and down. He's not in and out. He's not black and white. He's constant. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. He remains the same. And James reminds us that there will never be a time when God is unable or unwilling to meet your needs. That's the great promise. There is no variableness with God. He continues to bless. Does that not stir our hearts? That our God does not change? Is that not what he said to Malachi in chapter 3 verse 6? For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Is that not what we read in Hebrews 13 concerning our Savior the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? The world changes. It's changed dramatically since James penned these words. He lived in a day when perhaps by candlelight and with a quill that he penned these words. Now we have electrical lighting and laptops and mobile phones. But God hasn't changed. God is still the same. James penned a letter that took weeks, maybe even months, to reach its destination, carried by a traveler from one destination to the next. We could send an email of the Epistle of James to someone on the other side of the world in a split second. Yes, much has changed since James penned these letters, but not God. The God of whom he writes never changes. He's still ever constant. And we rest our hope upon a God who is immutable, unchangeable, who varies not. Not only does he not vary, but he never dims. Not only is there no variableness with God, but neither is there shadow of turning. When we look at that final phrase, that shadow of turning, I think James is referring us back to those heavenly lights that he mentioned previously. When you think of our relationship to the sun, we are never closer to the sun than at midday. That's when we're closest. And as the earth begins to move on its axis away past midday, something begins to happen. We move a little further from the sun, and shadows begin to cast themselves across the surface of our earth. And the further we move away from the sun past midday, the longer the shadows become. And then, of course, we move so far away that we move into evening and nighttime, and the warmth of the sun and the light of the sun for a period of time is gone. That's our experience in life. But it need not be our experience with God. There's no shadow of turning with God. We can bask in the midday sun of God's love and grace and righteousness forever. In fact, I would go as far as to say that if there's shadows in our life, it's because we have moved away from God. Because God does not move, doesn't change. He's constant. God would be the midday sun of our life, but we move from Him. And we cast the shadows of sin and disappointment across our life. When we find that happening, we need to get back to that noonday brilliance of God's love and grace. So I would ask you, Christian, this morning, that if there are shadows in your life because of sin, to realize that it's you that has moved, and not God, because with Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change. His light is as bright as it has ever been, and it will dispel your darkness. Oh, that we would take time this morning and recognize the great gifts that God bestows, the great grace that He has poured out upon us, and the great assurance that we can be with Him in the brightness of His glory. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And while the world around us shifts and shakes and moves, we can be assured of a God who is ever constant, who is the one who freely bestows upon us every good and perfect gift, the one who deserves and demands our love and respect and obedience, the great and the good God of heaven. Oh, that we would love Him with heart and soul and mind and strength, and appreciate and be amazed and be assured of the God who loved us and continues to love us, who gave His Son to die for us, of whom now we might say that no gift that we can give to God is too great for Him who gave us His Son.